Well, when I came this morning, I wasn't sure if I was to teach or Ethan Savoca, because we both had ties on, and his was cuter than mine. But what we're trying to do, we're encouraging the teachers to, as we stand in this platform, we want to respect the privilege and the office of teaching you guys. So we kind of encourage dressing up. So my wife helped me with my tie. I want to do something a little different today in the lieu of the time and all that we have here. We're not going to really dig deep into the scripture portion. I'm going to just mention a few things, then I'm going to encourage you to go home and read it. Today we look at Romans 7, 1 to 13. And Paul's really trying to help again as we've worked through this whole scenario of righteousness, works by faith, and pictures of Abraham. Paul's again trying to help us understand what the law is. And primarily, in the beginning of the chapter 7, he kind of views it as a marriage. And he says to the Jewish people, you've had the law for so long that it's like a wife. But you can't carry on to this new covenant. The old covenant was a covenant of works through the law. This new covenant is a covenant of grace through Christ. And you have to understand, in order to marry into Christ, you have to allow the law to die. According to the law, you couldn't marry someone else unless your wife died or your husband died. So he kind of gives us that picture. Then, towards the end, in the middle of 1 to 13, he gives us an illustration kind of the purpose of the law when he talks about coveting. I wouldn't have known what coveting was unless the law told me that. And then he kind of sees his own heart and how much coveting goes on in his heart. It's kind of like a little illustration I heard that pictures it well with the law. Little Billy's down the basement playing very nicely. And Mom hollers down the basement steps, Billy, I just made cookies. They're for dessert. Don't eat any. Now, Billy wasn't thinking about cookies at all until his mom told him the law. Don't eat the cookies. And that's all Billy could do was think about, how can I get a cookie without Mom finding out? That was the purpose of the law. And I thought about that, and I think it's so critical that you and I, who I think basically understand what the law was in the Old Testament, but I think in our Christian life now in Christ, we get a little confused. So I want to give you a couple little illustrations of that, and I want you to maybe help me. Have you ever used a tool, something, to be used in the purpose it wasn't designed for? All right, I'm going to give you a couple examples, and I want you to give me one. For instance, anybody know what this is? He's been there, done that. This is a great tool for taking the little screwdrivers off of the outlets because they're so small. And there's times that I haven't had the right screwdriver. This knife is great. If you use it for a big screw, you're going to bend it. But it works. All right? Here's another one. Anybody know what this is? This is kind of like MacGyver. You know, it's funny. I call them my boys. The guy, Steve, my son, and Matt Savoca, who's kind of like my son, Dom's son. We have a joke because they would love to start a second company called, Resourceful Renovators, and even have a TV show, because there's times we use things that they weren't made to be used that way. For instance, one time we went down on a job, and we worked for a company that has a lot of properties, and they told us, listen, the customer told us their trash bin won't close. Can you go down and look at the, the gate and see what's going on. So we did. We went down, not knowing what was there. And I mean to tell you, it was a chain link fence, metal post and all that. A truck had to hit this so hard, the whole thing was bent, and it wouldn't close. So we said, resourceful renovators, what do? We took the fence all off, laid on the ground, and I ran over it with the truck. And guess what? It didn't straighten it perfectly, but it was good. And we could rehang it, and it closed and locked. And we got paid for that. Well, one day I was on a job a while ago, and I put a one-piece linoleum down in a bathroom. And I thought I could work it out with my hands, but I couldn't get the bubbles out. I borrowed the lady's rolling pin. It worked great, because normally it's a 100-pound roller that you get for those floors. Guess what? When Chick leaned on this, it was more than 100 pounds. It worked great. How about you guys? Anybody want to share some of their resources or what you've done that is clever or not clever? What's that? Q-tips for painting. I've never done that. I'm going to put that in my repertoire. That's good. How about another one? Shoe is a hammer. How'd that work? All right. Suzanne. I've never done that. All right. Anybody know what this is? This? They go together, right? Well, one day, resourceful renovators, Chick had to leave the job and go on another job, and the caulk gun was in the other job. And I had this bead of caulk to do. Now, you could have cut this open, use your fingers. But I put this on here like this, and I started to squeeze, and it worked. Resourceful renovators. Now, there are things that we use that are not designed to be used in a certain way. And sometimes they cost us. I'm sure we've all watched America's Funniest Videos. How many times have you seen at a wedding where I guess people get a little more than they should, they get up on top of the table and start dancing? Now, a table was not made to dance on. It's not a dance floor. And what ultimately happens? You know it's coming. Falls down. Hopefully they don't get hurt. We use things at times for things they were not designed for that really gets us in trouble. We got a lot of teenagers today who are driving cars, and we're happy for them. But if you use a vehicle for the purpose it wasn't designed for, like most kids can do, drag racing, this and that, it can be deadly. When God designed the law through Moses, he had a specific purpose. And I want us to look at that real quick, because when you and I misuse the law, it is not only deadly physically, it's eternally dead. The law in Romans 7, nomos, the Greek word, law or rule providing a state approved of God. Another way of saying that is God's standard of living whereby you are accepted by God of his holy standard. God has written laws down to say, here's what holiness, here's what perfection looks like. And sadly, the Jewish people misinterpreted what God was intending to do. One of the best examples that Jesus gives us in Scripture is the Pharisee and the publican. Two men went up to pray. The Pharisee beat his chest. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other men, kind of looking over at the publican who was on his knees, not even looking up to heaven. And the publican made this prayer thinking, because he kept the laws of God. Matter of fact, the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders wrote more laws to add to God's laws to show them how good they were. The publican, just in humility, said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said these words. It was the publican who went away receiving forgiveness, not the Pharisee. When we don't get the right understanding of the law, we get into trouble. The law is to expose our sin. So what was the law? It was rules that God had set forth for us that were impossible to live up to. And we know that only one person in the time of history of mankind ever lived up to that law, and that was our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the law was to help us understand our sinfulness. Galatians punches that home pretty well. You know, I've said this before, but it's always exciting for me to think about. It is so wonderful, the things that we are learning here in Romans. And Romans is like the big brother who just comes and says, bam, it's righteousness, not the law. Galatians comes and says, it's the little brother. Oh, yeah? You can't be justified by the law. You can't. You got to have Christ. And it punches us home. And here's what Galatians says. It says this, and I'm just going to read it to you. Galatians 3, 23. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. I love how the King James says it. The law was a schoolmaster to teach us you need a Savior because you're a sinner. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now, God isn't saying here there aren't rules to obey. We have many principles of life, even in the New Testament, that we should live out. But here's the point that I want to spend the rest of our time with. And this is primarily for you and I who are believers, who understood the law was to shine light on our lives, that we do lie. We are cheaters. We have lustful thoughts in our minds. And we don't come close to measuring up in the holiness of God. So initially, and this is for those who maybe have never come to Christ, that was the purpose of the law. Each one of mankind is a sinner on this earth. And Christ came to live out the law fully. Again, the law was good. Paul's trying to hammer that home. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. He lived it. And now, in this new covenant, there's something unique, that we come to God like the publican, recognizing I'm a sinner and I will fall short of God's glory, as we learned in Romans. But God is gracious and giving us a gift in his Son, so that anyone who receives him on the basis of what Jesus did, recognizing I don't measure up, I'm going to put my faith in Christ because Christ measured up. The Father said about the Son, I am well pleased with him. He has met every requirement of the law. So then, if you don't know Christ, you can by faith say, Lord Jesus, I receive this marvelous gift that you have given me. And I believe, as we're learning on Saturdays, as we give out the gospel message, God, working behind the scenes, is working on each heart that one day will be his. And he's, what the Bible says, is he's causing them to become alive, regenerating them, giving them a new birth, so that if you're here today and God has awakened your heart, say yes to him. Lord, I believe that you are my Savior, and I receive you today. But for those of us who've done that, and I want to kind of share this with my own personal life, there's a danger. We understand what the law was given. We receive Christ joyfully, and the Holy Spirit comes in and allows us to live out this life. Hello? Okay, if we could turn all our phones off, that would be great, because I don't want you to have attention anywhere else. This is crucial for the believer. What we do is we understand the gospel for our salvation initially, but now, as we walk this life, nothing has changed. I'm in need of a Savior to forgive my sins in the same way I'm in need of a Savior to walk with me all the way. We sang about it today. Let me read that portion. Here's one of the things we need to really understand, that I'm going to expound about it. Understanding what the law was to expose my sinfulness, I recognize I need a Savior and cry out to him. And he's a God of mercy and will save me and anyone else. Now I need to know that I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What I have to do, and I don't always do this, even though I believe I understand the principle of the Christian life up here. I came to Christ at an early age, received him into my life. I'm cleansed, forgiven, made whole, declared righteous. And now he tells me, I want you to live righteous. And at times, often, I can know, as I read the scriptures, that I'm supposed to be a person of kindness. I'm supposed to be a person who's patient. I'm supposed to be a person who only says what builds others up. I'm to have just a caring about me that cares for others. But I want you to get this. It's possible for me to do those things in the flesh. And what do I mean by that? As I've been given the power of God in my life, Galatians tells me I still have this old nature. But I've been given a new nature. And Galatians says, and they battle each other all the time. And what I'm supposed to do in this new life is to say no to my flesh. Crucify my flesh. Put off this old man. Take up my cross and follow him daily. This new creation that I've been given, Jesus Christ himself in the Holy Spirit, his righteousness, I need to allow him to live in me every moment of the day. But that gets foggy sometimes with me, because I've learned I need to be doing good things, and there's times when I recognize I'm doing this just because I know it's good. Well, how do we work that out? Okay, well, here comes the train. All right, let's stop the train and go that off. Again, if you have some cell phones, turn it off. I've turned mine off. So, let me get back to this, okay? Now that we have been given a righteousness that is not our own, we need to live in that righteousness. And there's many scriptures that helps us to do that. As we get to Romans 12, it's going to instruct us to do that. With all the wonderful things that we have in Christ, 12 says this, therefore, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, when the Thessalonians tells us to pray without ceasing, one of the tools that God has given us to use right, I need to be in constant communication with God all day long saying, Lord, I can't do this. Do it in me. Now, I try to practice that. And I believe God understands in my humanity and weakness, there isn't any one of us that will live 24/7 allowing Christ to live in us. But if I'm sharing gospel with you, truth with you, it's Jesus in me. John 15 said it this way, with the vine and the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Unless you're connected to me and drawing from who I am, from the vine situation, you will not be able to produce my righteousness. Or another way he said it in that passage, apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's my challenge to each of us through this passage, understanding the law. I have to awaken every day, and I'm just going to kind of throw out some suggestions to you. Wake up, maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep, maybe you're tired, maybe you're ornery, but come to God and say, God, I confess I cannot live this Christian life which you have bestowed upon me, but I'm so thankful that you live in me. Let me surrender my life to you. Try to do that in the morning and then throughout the day. One of the areas that I'm trying to do, and it's amazing, because I see the law of sinfulness in my heart working all the time. In 2 weeks, Scott's going to talk on that. Next week, we're going to have a time of listening to the Lytles and sharing their story from Uganda, which will be exciting. But the first part of chapter 7 is kind of the outside of the law, what God has given us to view. The end of that is kind of the inside of the law, what's going on inside. And I see this law operating in me all the time. I don't know why I have a weakness in there, but when I get in the car and start driving, chick allows pride to get in. I'm one of the best drivers out there. So don't get in my way. Or you're behind someone. Now, inevitably, you've been there who's talking on the phone. This happened to me the other day. I'm trying to pull in. I'm in the left-hand lane. It gives you a left-hand lane to pull in to the shopping center, and this lady's in front of me. She's on the phone, and here's cars coming. So, yeah, hey, you got to wait for the cars to go. The cars all came, and she's still sitting there. It's time to go, lady. And I see, and again, there may be things she's not doing right, but I see in me, man, there's something going on in my heart. Jesus isn't in control of my life at this moment. How many have seen times in your life where Jesus isn't in control of your life? I better see every hand up here. Okay? We have seen it. And God is telling us that's not where you want to live. We want to use those times when your, you know, your language is coarse or rough or quick. When you have those pride thoughts in your heart. When you see those things coming up, they're the time to say, Lord Jesus, I am not allowing you to live in my life. In this moment, right now. Allow me to have control. Now, I want to tell you, I've experienced this. Jesus loves to hear that prayer. Jesus will live in us so that we will begin to accomplish more and more as we live moment by moment, asking the Holy Spirit to help us live the way we know the Scriptures tell us to live. But if I think that I can do this on my own, and many of us can, there's moments we can be kind. There's moments that we can say nice things about people. I want to be sure that I'm living with the aspect that I'm submitting my life to God in those moments. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I think it's a very huge thing in the Christian life. Certainly God compels me to recognize that it's not I, but Jesus living in me. So my encouragement to you and I, as we understand the law and his purposes, to begin to look for those areas where I'm not even aware of, but the Holy Spirit, if I ask him, will help me be aware of those times, to really think through where and when am I not allowing the very power of God to live in me. Resurrection power is yours and mine to have in Christ. And it's absolutely marvelous. So what I want to do in the last few minutes that we have is I want to just quietly ask that you would, in a time of prayer, just say, Lord, as I'm listening to this, I believe what Chick's saying is right. I need to be more aware of the times where I'm living my life and you're not, and confess that. They're everywhere. Times where we're short in patience. So let me just have a silent time of prayer, and then I'll lead us in prayer as we close. Do business with God. Talk to him about what your heart's being stirred right now. Father, I, along with my brothers and sisters here, certainly confess that I cannot live this righteous life apart from the Holy Spirit allowing me to live Jesus in me. He is the one who is righteous. He is the one who has imputed his righteousness to me. He has given me this righteousness through faith, of which I don't deserve. Let me live fully for you, Lord, as I practice more and more to be aware of my need of you moment by moment. May I be in prayer more and more throughout the day. Lord, I know sometimes I even forget about you and just do my thing. Help me be more aware of your presence. Lord, help us to be a church that allows Jesus to live in and through us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.